From JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Morning, Mike.
Ongoing series on Fonterra. So the farm gate up yesterday, that's the good side. Other side of the business, though, as we've talked about before, the old share price needs a bit of support.
Yeah. Nice segue from the global dairy trade results yesterday, which saw that global dairy trade price index rise for the first time since early March. So now we've got some action and some good news for Fonterra shareholders. Now, we spoke about this the other day, and we spoke about the slump in the share price of Fonterra, and I was explaining the rather complicated capital structure, which is in the process of being reformed. So, you know, you've got these two classes of shares. You've got your farmers only market, which they have to own, and then you've got the shareholders fund, which you and I could go and trade. Now, billions of dollars have been lost on dairy farmer balance sheets by the fall in value of the Fonterra shares, and it was particularly evident when we spoke the other day, when the farmers only market, those shares were trading at $2.22. And if I look back to 2017, they're at $6.50. They've basically been in a steady decline since March of last year, which, you know, it's actually basically ever since they announced the capital reform, the shares have just kept falling away. So there's been a couple of elements, one of which was announced yesterday morning. So yesterday, Fonterra announced that it will spend $50 million on buying back its own shares. So over the last couple of weeks, we've had quite a significant bounce. As I said, that share price got down to 222, sort of 225, 222 level. But on the 2nd of June, it's actually at $3.09. It fell back, and yesterday it lifted on this news back to $2.85. So good news there, and I think farmers will be pleased to see the decline stopping. Now, this $50 million on-market buyback is actually a separate initiative to the $300 million that Fonterra recently announced, that said that it would commit to support liquidity during the transition to the new requirements that farmers will need to own one Fonterra share for every 3 kilos of milk solids they supply to Fonterra, and that's currently one for one. So hopefully farmers are a little bit buoyed by that.
Another one of our ongoing themes, consents and whether they ever lead to building.
The old conundrum. So we talk a lot, Mike, about the residential property market. We talk about house prices. So you've got your QV index, you've got your RNZ numbers. We talk about the consents. We talk about building work put in place. We do all this to try and get a feel for what's happening in particularly in the residential property market, because it's an asset class that's near and dear to many Kiwis. So, yeah, one of these issues we've discussed is how many building consents actually translate into building activity. And, you know, one of the things we've got to reconcile at the moment is the fact that we've seen the housing market softening. We're seeing this terrible sentiment in the residential construction sector, but through this, building consents have remained very robust. You know, they're running at about 50,000 a year, which is the strongest level since the 1970s. So, Mike, every month, and I picked up on this data yesterday, every month Auckland Council release a housing update with building-related information. It's actually focused on the number of dwellings that receive code compliance certificates. So these are properties that are actually finished and signed off. They're actually built. Now, look, I haven't had time to sort of robustly test some of the assumptions here, so I've got to be careful with these numbers at an absolute level. But I think it gives us a bit of a feel for what's happening. So here's the numbers, Mike. In the 12 months to April 2022, in the Auckland region, compliance certificates were issued for just over 13,500 properties. So obviously you've got a gap between when your consent is issued and when your code compliance certificate is issued. You've got to build the thing, haven't you? Mm-hmm. But roughly 80 to 90% appear to be completed within 2 years. So if I then go and look at building consents in Auckland region to April 21 and to April 22, to April 21 you got 18,200 consents were issued, to April 22, 21,468. Consents were issued. So let's just throw a 20,000, circa 20,000 per year. But in the last 12 months, you've only had 13,500 code compliance certificates issued. So look, it's rough and ready, Mike. Needs a bit more work.
Yeah, well, do that, will you? I mean, what are we paying?
I'll do that. But the clear inference is that, you know, a reasonably significant number of building consents don't progress to actually build. Yeah,
exactly. And it doesn't surprise me for obvious reasons. What are the numbers?
Right, the Dow Jones is, US market's a little bit lower. We might have a chat about the doom and gloom coming out of a lot of senior people in the US tomorrow morning. But the Dow Jones, 32,894, down 285 points, 0.86%. The S&P 500, 4120, down 40 points, just under 1%, and the NASDAQ 12,091 down 83 points, 0.7%. The FTSE 100 overnight lost 6, 7,593. The Nikkei was up 290 points, 28,234. Shanghai Composite up 22 points, 3,263. The ASX 200 gained 25 points yesterday, 7,121. We were pretty flat on the NZX 50 yesterday, 11,266. Kiwi dollar, a little bit weaker, 0.6450 against the US, 0.8962 Aussie, 0.6017 euro, 0.5143 pounds, 86.49 Japanese yen, gold, $1,854, and Brent crude, it's not playing ball, it's not Mike, $124.19, still high.
All right, mate, we'll see you tomorrow. Appreciate it. Andrew Kelleher, jmiwealth.co.nz.